What?
You're picking all the seasons with him reading.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why can't you? Oh, because.
On the right side.
Oh, I see. It's a good thing I'm here. Well, about 10 lines down, and you see the big word but in the middle there. But something happens to the discourse of the marvelous when it, yeah? When it is. Oh, to the discourse of the marvelous when it is linked to the discourse of the law. The law. Colon. Va. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it was a miserable job. It's in the library. Go do your own. The inadequacy of the legal ritual to confer title and the incapacity of the marvelous to confer possession cancel each other out. I think that was the most difficult thought in the whole chapter, for me anyway. And you have to ask, how does an inadequacy cancel out an incapacity? Mm. How does an inadequacy cancel out an incapacity? Okay. And his answer is that some kind of this emotional intensity or something like that, the intensity of the thing. And that intensity, I think, logically speaking, translates into the enormous power of naming. It's not just the naming process, but everything that follows from it is so overwhelming, right, that you really do have an almost mystical control. That may be the best But you get a sort of similar statement about over on page 80 on the other side, which you do have,
yeah.
About 12 lines up. I think I have it underlined. Columbus tries to draw the reader toward wonder, a sense of the marvelous that in effect fills up the emptiness at the center of the maimed right of possession. And this is what Anna's asked. This maimed right is what she was asking about. We'll look at it in a second. But right. So I think you can constantly go through, and he's doing these summary sentences through the whole chapter, and he's using the word possession, and he's using the word marvelous, and he's coming up with some third term, a paradox or a volatility or something like that, or a naming to try and resolve these two contradictory notions. But, right? So he's really thinking his way through this, and I think that's the difficulty of the chapter, maybe this book. You really want him to give us the conclusion, state it at the beginning, maybe say something a little more clear about that naming ritual. But he doesn't do it. And I'll give you the reason right now, since I'll probably forget it. He's not only structured this chapter logically, he's structured it as a narrative, hasn't he? He's telling a story. And by narrative, in that sense, I mean something really easy, just a chronological progression, chronology through time. Here's what Columbus said when he first got to the island. Here's what he does later. And he's constantly got that looking forward to Columbus thing going on, along with the logic of the three parts. So he's telling a story of Columbus's development, right, and breakdown. And he doesn't stress that, but that was the whole thing. You know, Columbus was the great diver, a miserable failure, as far as he was concerned, and his whole discovery was in litigation in the Spanish courts for years, as his heirs tried to, you know, assert their claims to this land, which is why we know so much about it, which is what makes it so fat. Those Indians didn't have a chance, okay? And it wasn't just the diseases, it was those Spanish courts that he was creating a record for. You know, and he'd been 30 years trying to get these ships together, right? He knew what it was like to face a bureaucracy, right, and to deal with these people. So he wasn't taking any nonsense, right? It's remarkable how that there's absolutely no sex in this thing. Okay, this guy's got, he's focused. Okay, And maybe he just doesn't talk about it, but he really, other accounts, if you read Todorov's book on the early Spanish, that's the first thing they think about when they hit those beaches is not, planting any flag. Okay, it's kidnapping women, right? Getting them on the ship. And then they think about it.
But he does, in the possession of the land, possessing the
woman kind of, just in,
like...
Right. Does he even... Does Columbus or is it Greenblatt?
Well, yeah. Oh, well, he says how Columbus, isn't that some Columbus, Columbus saying that it's in the shape of a pear or a
bottle? Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. So he actually uses a kind of desexualized image. But, all right. So that's probably enough for overall. Let's look at just two paragraphs to make my point about how he writes. First one's on page 55, and sorry, that's on the right-hand side. And so's the next one, too. But that's the breaks. And the paragraph I want to look at is the middle one, the European landfall. So I want to see the way I... as a really miserable writer who had to learn every step of the way on how to structure a paragraph, what always helped me was the notion of the pointer, that the verb the main verb in every sentence should probably be pointing in the same direction, or if it's not, it's really clearly you're doing a back swish, right? What do I mean by pointer? Well, I don't think I want to do the whole thing. But the way you figure that out is you just mark the main subject and verb. Okay? What we used to call the simple subject and the simple verb. Right? And you line them up. And if it's an easy pattern to follow, if it's something like she walks to the store, she puts on her hat, she goes home. I think that's easy to follow. She does this, she does something else, right? It's clearly a chronological story. I can follow that. But if you say, she walks to the store, merchants are always on the lookout for victims. She goes home. I'm going, hey, wait a minute. What's the connection there? Is this paragraph about her trip to the store or is it about merchants? Right? First of all, you got a unity problem. Do I really need that thing about merchants if I'm just telling about this little woman's trip to the store? It may be really important. Matter of fact, it may be incredibly important. In terms of the paragraph about the woman's little day, her trip, it's got no relevance at all. Okay? And unless you put some relevance in there somehow, it's got to go. So what's important is what's important according to the structure of the paragraph, not in reality, right? Well, so let's just take if you want that to be important, you need and anytime you have a break in the subject, you have to have a transition phrase or an explanation. She walked to the store. In the original version is, the merchants are all evil. She walked to the store. It was a store as she knew, or she didn't know that the merchants were all evil, okay? You see, then I got a connection, at least, to her. And you just throw in that little extra bit, and you make it all work. Otherwise, you're just guessing. Does this merchant have anything to do with this woman who we know is going home to take a bath and couldn't care less about the store owner, right? Because this is actually the story of O.J. Simpson's wife. Okay, you don't remember her. You remember O.J. Simpson's wife? Right? And so, we just don't care about the store. Right? Anyway, so let's do the analysis and see if this works here. I don't know, but I could have done this, but I thought if you don't work through these, it makes no sense. And I'm such a simple person. All right. If I gave you the answer, you wouldn't think it's important. So what's the simple subject of the first sentence of this paragraph?
Landfall.
Landfall. I better leave lots of room. I'm gonna need it. And what's the verb? Okay. Now we're gonna do, in this paragraph, I almost freaked out because he's not using particularly strong verbs in this. And I think it's one of the things that threw people off. But so there's a lot of was's, right? And one of my little rules in writing is you examine all uses of simple verbs. I was trying to explain this to the policy committee of the English department yesterday. right, because like, you're going to use the word is an awful lot. So you want to examine it every time you use it and try and get rid of it. So instead of saying, like, the landfall was drastically different, you might want, maybe you could get, the landfall scared Christopher Columbus. Right? The beach scared him. You know, scare would be a stronger verb. No, it doesn't fit here, so we can't do it. And he don't want it because he's doing something else. But you examine all uses because you're going to use... Half the time you're going to use is, or have. So the other half, please, you know, try and get rid of it. Okay, use strong verbs. All right, that's my simple rule of writing. All right, so the landfall was, let's just say different. And that's part of, you could call that a simple subject. We used to have a thing called the predicate adjective. I don't know if you have that. And it was different from what? Well, if you look at the previous paragraph, he's talking about in the old days, an Alexander the Great would go out to Afghanistan, and he'd know what to do. What would he do? He'd lead his army to India, and he would have innumerable smaller acts of reconnaissance, negotiation, and conflict. You? No? You? Maybe? What? little wars, little fights. You want to fight too? You know? Columbus isn't doing that. He doesn't seem to be doing the little little acts of reconnaissance. So different from. So he leaves out the transition, kind of, but he's constantly leaving stuff out, but it's implied and so obvious, he can get away with it. We might want to write, you know, spell it out, something like, was different from... Okay, so just to be clear. The landfall was, because it's pretty weak, right? But, you know, see if he gets away with it. And then he explains all that stuff, why it's the extreme length of the voyage, the invaders' total unfamiliarity with the land, their absolute ignorance of its inhabitants' culture, languages, socio-political organization, and beliefs made it so. All these explain difference. And you notice how he's... assuming a lot of knowledge on your part. It doesn't tell you how many miles that ocean voyage is as compared to Alexander the Great's land voyage. Okay, so you need to know these things. By the way, Alexander the Great, you know, was the got to the Hindu Kush Mountains on the Afghan, you know, Tibet-China border. And Europe didn't get back there until 1830 when the British got to the Hindu Kush, right? No place to be. And that's where we are right now. Okay, I don't want to be in those mountains. Terrible idea. Anyway, drastically different. How about the next sentence? Yeah, you'd have to say all. All had. You know, and I go, and I don't even want to put it up there because I'm going to rewrite the sentence just for purposes of analysis. Maybe I'm jumping too fast. But what is all referring to? What's the key word? Yeah, it's the familiar procedures. Okay, I got this lined up. Well, watch. I mean, you can't be too. I had to ask myself, is he really breaking the rules? So that's just familiar procedures. You can write this, all familiar procedures. It's just a way of speaking it. Normally, I like stuff up front, but he's writing normal English. Familiar procedures what? Had what? Yeah. Would you say this is the same subject as that? Or has there been a shift in the point of view, the simple rhetoric handbooks call it? Is that the same subject or different? Landfall? Maybe. Yeah. Right. Yeah, but you're right. It's related. It's not. It's either an opposite or similar. But it's still. It's a different word. Okay, so I just moved it over. So it's not. It's not like saying she went to the store, she came home, she took a bath. Right? It's different enough. But we'll see. Now there's always going to be a logical relationship there that's very strong, whether it signals it or not. We really have no trouble constantly getting from one to another. Although if I just sort of showed you that on a dark night, is landfall a procedure? What's the relationship? But you think about it and you instantly know when you hit land, this is what you do. Okay, so it kind of follows in time, if nothing else. But that's, I think it's difference. The key thing is, the real point there is, we're talking about difference. This paragraph is about things that are different on this one. Is there any notion of difference there in the second sentence? Yeah. So we're getting that, really, this is just an example, isn't it? It's really pointing in the same direction, okay? So this isn't the logical thing. What unifies the paragraphs is it better be about how different it is for Columbus, okay? This isn't going to make or break. It's not going to throw it out, right? But the sentences are pointing in the same direction, right? How about the next sentence? But you gotta admit, it's not that easy to follow. There's no pattern there in the subjects. No easy pattern. There's one we can think about. When you make a landfall, then you follow procedures, but they're not the same word. Right? Let's just look at the next sentence. What's the sub? They. Okay? What's they refer to? What's the pronoun refer to? The people are not, don't have an odd, what has an odd air of quotations? The procedures, okay? So the subject here is exactly the same as there. That's an easy pattern. That's she went to the store. Right? I can follow that. See, this is simple stuff. Right? You do this in the second grade in Germany. But here, you do it in graduate seminar. Okay. The procedures and the... Well, that's what we're going to see. If you're jumping back and forth, you would. If he starts jumping back and forth, it's not going to be easy to follow. And he jumped, but now, hey, he gave us a break.
And the reason is because it's from a previous paragraph when he's talking about Alexander. Yeah.
Okay. I agree. So you're probably right. What he means by landfall isn't putting your foot in the sand.
Right.
It's the procedures there. You know, so I'll move it over. But that makes my point, doesn't it? That he's doing the exact same thing in each of these sentences. Okay? As a matter of fact, that's such a strong pattern, it helps you read back. And he hasn't signaled anything different. Okay? He hasn't broken the pattern. He's like... what I want to say, are these easy ideas or complicated ideas? These are really complicated. What do we mean by different? Displacement. I kind of got the idea. How about air of quotations? All right? Well, you know, but the pattern's telling me, hey, he's just saying the same thing. It's a kind of difference. Okay? In other words, you've got this rich set of rituals and they work fine over here, but when you bring them over here, they seem really weird, even when they're the same. They seem different because they've been displaced. They're like quotations, you know. It's like if I want to marry two elephants, and I say, do you take this elephant to be your lawful wedded, right? Seems like a quotation. So we can follow it. So he's writing really pretty complicated, using these phrases that really make us think and despair, I might say, too. You say, how am I ever going to write stuff like that? I don't know. Okay, but this is why the guy's, you know, yeah, he's the top of the heap, right? The heap. Okay, what's next? What? Yeah, our interpretive move must be. It's not procedures. You know it's not procedures. So I'm going to just summarize it. To interpret, we must, right? So he's sort of come in from outer space with his narrative voice. And you can imagine that he's doing that throughout the chapter, occasionally coming in like that. Right, to sort of frame what he's talking about. So, but what follows? Yes. Well, we must realize boom, 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 boom. And in case you didn't think it was important, I'm just telling you the same thing again, but this time, you know, it's got this little thing going with I'm smart and I hope you see what I'm seeing. Okay. But that's more of a rhetorical strategy, but, okay. And strange is the, and if you know, you're still trying to figure out what error of quotations is, well, you know, it better be strange. All right, because he's just doing like that. How about what's the simple subject of the next one? Yeah. Now that's not they anymore. It's each one. Well, each what? No, each. Yeah, each detail. So he's just moving from the whole of the procedure to the parts of it. And I think we can all follow the move from the plural to an individual example. That's not that tough. Okay, so each detail is, and I hope you enjoyed the first one. What is it? Is what? Destabilize. Yeah. Defamiliarized. Uprooted. Now, if he's really brilliant, I didn't check this, I'm just going to guess, those three things will correspond to the three things on the top. Do they? Displacement, destabilized, no. Well, he only has two things, really. Uprooted. What? Okay. And so these two things are forms of displacement. Destabilize, defamiliarize. I've spelled it wrong, defamiliarize. Anyway, he doesn't do it exactly, but he kind of does, right? He's not, I think that the uprooted, but it's just another series. And again, he's just throwing out a lot of words. He's trying to find the word that'll catch you. It may be a little too much here. You want to be, you know, but you may be lost, but you know where you're going. Okay. This landfall was different. When Alexander got to Afghanistan, he knew, here we go again, just what I did all the way across Persia, okay, and what I did right across what will be Iraq someday, and what I did right across Turkey, and I started it right in the Peloponnese, okay, I've been doing it since I left home, same thing, you, me, no, okay, little negotiation, you either, you know, play ball or you go, okay. Thomas doesn't do that. It was amazing. I mean, Alexander the Great was pretty amazing to go around the world because he didn't mess around. He just put his camps in the river valleys. Okay? So if he wanted to move any kind of large-scale caravan, his agents were there. If he wanted to go live in the mountains, he didn't care. Go live in your stupid mountains. Okay? The money's down here. That's how he ran that empire. Even 2,000 years ago. What's the last one? There are, which is, he's delaying the real subject, okay? And he's doing it, you can also often use a there are in your first sentence of a paragraph because it's a kind of transition. I mean, you really should always go right to what you're talking about. But here he's doing a nice kind of summary, secondary thesis at the end of the paragraph, the summary thing. So he uses a there are to set it off. That may be too complicated, but there are what? Whoops. Did I leave something?
That whole part sets it off in transition, because the rest of it is the convention.
Yeah. Yeah, so summarize that sentence and get to not the transition part at the beginning, which is kind of a summary. It's the conventions that's the key. Now, I would prefer it if it's in the independent clause, but here he's using two independent clauses, but see, he's setting one off of the there are as the transition. So it's the other independent clause that's got the real heart of what he's talking about, the logical part. Conventions what? Yeah, exactly. And if you ask yourself, oh my God, what does he mean by conventions? I'm so lost. The details, the procedures, that's what he means by the conventions. He's using the same subject in every single sentence. Okay? It's just amazing. You can't get a simpler structure. And then he's got the variations, right? And I would take the landfall as one, but I'll also buy into it that it isn't. He's sort of leading in, right? And this little bit, you know, gives it a variety, but inside there, everything's pointing in the same. So you can't get a more simply structured. Right. And again, this comes from, because he really, I said he was doing a logical paragraph, but he's also doing a narrative story, is our recognition of this thing as we watch Columbus get older. Right. Isn't that cool? I mean, I think it's just amazing. You want to do one more? We'll do one more. Got this? All right. Look at what? Yeah, I guess so.
Is that kind of the same thing?
This is just how to write English.
Really saying, I mean, is he really saying something really kind? It's just like
That's a good question. Yeah, you could argue that, I mean, you know, again, this is both a model and not a model. The model part is this. The not model, he may be moving a little too fast here, okay? Not explaining these terms as well as he could, right? But he's, that's all I can say about this. I mean, this thing, he's got a lot of stuff in this, this chapter, right? But, you know, he's echoing theoretical languages. You know, he's sitting there reading De Certeau and his all these theorists. You know, when he was at Berkeley, he had this French sociologist, Michel De Certeau, sitting there. He had Foucault. He was the first guy to invite Foucault over. You know, Greenblatt would say, you know, go sit with him for a few weeks. You know, Foucault goes, this is really cool. You know, but, right, it wasn't, the Foucault is less interesting than what, it seemed to me, than what Greenblatt came out of it with, right? So, I mean, the guy was just smart, right? But the style is, let's do, look at page 59. So, I mean, I'm just saying, you can use a simple style, you have all the room you want to be fancy, but trying to keep, you know, your poor readers just trying to get through the thing, help them out. This one is much more complicated, but am I waiting for you? I want the last paragraph. I better read. Yeah, I'll read it. The answer, I think, and this is Anna, your question. Why did those natives assent or not assent to the? To this dispossession. The answer, I think, may lie in the extreme formalism of Columbus's linguistic acts. That is, Columbus is observing a form, the journal Let Us, recall, spoke of making the required declarations, and that form evidently calls for the possibility of a contradiction, a counter declaration to the one. How many words are you missing?
500.
To the one by which possession is claimed. It is this formal occasion that must be observed rather than the contingency for which the formal occasion must originally have been conceived. I mean, I can't even follow this as I'm reading it. It's so complicated, right? But we'll watch it. You know, if I go back to it, though, I can make sense of it, because he uses a simple structure. Where are we? Filling the forms is enough. What we would be tempted to dismiss as mere form is for Columbus and for the Spanish whom he serves, the heart of the matter. Hence, Columbus does not write, the natives did not contradict me, but rather, I was not contradicted. Is that showing up? Okay. He is not concerned with a particular subjective consciousness responding to the proclamation, and hence with consent as an interactive volition, but with the formal absence of an objection to his words. Why there was no objection is of no consequence. All that matters is that there was none the. Now we come to the worst sentence in the whole paragraph. This one, I think this is just bad by any standard, but we'll make an interesting point here. The formalism of Columbus's proclamation derives not only from the fact that, It represents the scrupulous observance of a preconceived form, hence is, parentheses, hence is, not spontaneous or aleatory, which means like the roll of the dice. Alia is Latin for dice, so chance, dice. Okay. But also from its complete indifference to the consciousness of the other. Caesar crossing the Rubicon said, alia iacta est. The die is cast. He's talking about one of the pair of dice. Alia iacta est. Anyway, the words are a closed system, closed in such a, and the rest you got, right? Let's just take a look at the bad sentence. Why do I think it's a bad sentence? Too long for you. To the barbers with this, with this beer. Fine from Hamlet. The fact that, see that phrase, the fact that, that's a, what we call a wordy expression. You always try and get rid of that, if you can. See that four lines up at the end? The fact that. The second thing is, there's this thing called, I marked this on some of your papers, so don't throw tomatoes at me. Okay. I'm not picking on you. I forget who you are. There's a thing called faulty predication. Okay, faulty predication is a tough one, but it's basically you're asking the sentence subject, the verb of the sentence, is doing something that the subject can't really do. Okay, she can go to the store. Okay. But justice can't go to the store. Okay. Well, it may be a metaphor, and that it may work. But if I start saying justice goes to the store, okay, you know, that's something that subject can't do. Now, that's an obvious example, but look at here. The subject is formalism. Formalism derives. Well, derives is kind of a, you know, it does have a metaphoric sense to it. And it's really something a person would tend to do. You would derive this idea from another. Formalism is just an object, it's just an abstract noun. It really can't do anything like that, okay? There's something left out. It's just not as well said as it could be. You're giving that... is derived from, whatever. In other words, there's a human agent who derives formalism from what? Getting lost here. From the fact that, right? And I got formalism derives from a representation, from the fact that it represents a scrupulous observance. So it gets its derivation from its representation. I'm getting lost. Okay? And it's because the abstract noun has been put as the subject of the sentence. Okay? Always got to be really careful. I'm sure I could go through the Derrida with no problem. And just, I mean, it's just some bad writing in there. I'm sure the guy's a brilliant thinker, but... We'll get back to this because there's actually, it's pretty cool how Greenblatt gets around this. The other, you have formalism derives from, you know, not only from its representation, but then the end of the sentence, but also from its complete indifference. Formalism derives from indifference. That's pretty confusing to me, all right? Okay, now, tough sins, rule of thumb, right? You're great writers, you'll get to throw out some really wicked sentences. You better make sure everything around it is really clear. You don't get two of these on the same page. You get, you know, these guys, they vary their style. You don't want to always be doing, she went to the store, she did this. There'll be the occasional odd sentence, but it better be the only one in the neighborhood. Right? Well, you get, it gets. So let's take a look at that. And I think that's what, in fact, you'll see here. So here we go. There. What's the subject of the first sentence? Yeah, it's going to be, you notice that Columbus, when you got a guy, you might as well use him because it's sure easier to follow what Columbus is doing than what formalism is doing. Okay, do I have this thing on? I can just see if I'm losing this. Yeah, it still seems to be ticking. All right, so, technically, the first thing is the answer, right? The answer to what? And the answer is,
why should the native be thought capable under the circumstances?
Yeah, wait a minute. I'm getting I left out a parenthesis here. This thing. Oh, the answer to thinking what? What's the next subject and verb? Oh, wait a minute. We don't need that. Oh, no. This is all the transition. So, what is the transition idea that he's referring to? These two ideas. It's your exact question. Okay? And I actually stuck this in after figuring out the paragraph, but I'll put it in now just to save time. The thinking, look, you thought the natives. You know, there's these people who thought the natives assented to this phony ceremony that Columbus held out there. Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay, here's how it works. The answer to thinking this is that I'm still on the first sentence. Okay, the answer to thinking that the natives assented when they didn't assent, they were vote silent, right, is, yeah, the extreme formalism of Columbus's linguistic acts. Okay, that's a lot of noun phrases, right? I'm going to shift it into simple verb form, okay, just for this analysis. But again, it's the first sentence in the paragraph. You get to do backward sentence, delayed subjects, and stuff like that. But what it really means is that the answer to your thinking this is that Columbus followed, this is my paraphrase, he followed linguistic formality. The answer is linguistic formality, right? But I'm just making these. You know, I could just say that. Right? But I don't know why I did this. All right, because I know what's coming. It's just like Ed said. Who's the subject of most of the sentences?
Yeah, it does a lot. Columbus
wants. Yeah. So I want, and in fact, the next sentence is what? Yeah, Columbus. So where do I want to put this? I'll put it over here. This is the key thought of the whole chapter, really. The sheer formality of this pardons Columbus. Built into the procedure was the opportunity for the Indians to step forward. Okay. And you should always follow the procedure. Well, here we go. Hang them. Right? You see? So that's what he's really playing on form. How about... fulfilling the forms is enough. Is enough. Technically, fulfilling, I guess, is the chapter, is the But I'm going to rewrite it here just for that, so I don't know what to do. I can put it in terms of Columbus. He observes a form, he fulfills the forms, it's the same thing. Okay. I have a feeling, actually, as I'm sitting here, you know, if you have a complicated idea, you want to use a simple structure. If you have a really simple idea, you get to use a complicated structure, right? And this, you know, Columbus was just following the rules. And, you know, he's gotten tired of saying it all the time, so he lets his sentences, you know, get a little more complicated. How about the next one? Hence, Columbus does not write, and I'll just make it. And here, you see why I wanted to summarize the previous chapter, because that's the same idea. Right? So I got two patterns going here. What Columbus is doing, and the two parts of this legal paradox that he's wrapped up in. The natives did not contradict, but and if you outline that, and if you're having trouble thinking in your head, what does he mean when he says, I was not contradicted? Why is that so different from they didn't contradict me? And you see right away, it's because it's the linguistic form he's following. You got your answer. And so his paragraph is really, you go back to look at it, you know, makes sense. Which is like, for some of us, that's really cool. Right? Then I come way out here because he's using that framing. This is his overall story, remember, that he's not going to tell you what Columbus, he can't really figure out what the guy was doing. All he can do is look at his language, that's all we have. Okay, which is his answer to your great man objection too. You know, this is all we have. The answer, there's a good answer right there on page 64, which happens to be in my notes, so I know it. Okay, otherwise I don't think on my feet this fast. Right? I've just forgotten it. Let me just go back. It is, look, what are the values that Columbus can say he expresses as a Spaniard on this island? Brute force? Oh, no. This is not brute force. There's something else, right? And the something else here is very vague. But, you know, your whole Plato Protagoras thing, it's either force or justice. Oh, it's all complicated, but I know I'm not using force because I'm using rules. They may look like force to you with your modern analysis, right? But they're rules, therefore there's something else. They're a moral virtue, justice. Yeah. Go ahead. Well, I think what you're getting, you're still hearing the Indians in this phrase. And the Indians are not relevant at all. It's all about me. And I am not using force. I'm using something else. Okay? The contradiction is not even, I think that's the one way to hear it. I'm following the rules. Me. Okay? Not that the natives didn't say anything. Here's where the natives are important. Here, they're not. This is a passive verb. The passive verb we don't use in good writing because it hides the actor. Who would have contradicted him? You're assuming it might be the natives. Hey, could have been the alligators. Could have been God. It wasn't raining that day, which I would have taken as a sign that I cannot own this island. No thunder. Right? See? Not, he was not. Does that help? No.
Yeah. On 54, it seems like he says that the natives deserve some respect, whereas
using
the passive verb, where does the respect come from? And I think what his answer was that the respect comes from the fact that he's treating them with justice, with virtue. It doesn't come from them at all. It's not that they deserve respect, but I'm just a great person, so I'm respecting them.
Yeah. That man, that's funny. It's pretty hard to imagine that Columbus would pay no attention to the Indians, and, right? But that's exactly what happened. But that's the fact that Greenblatt's got to deal with. He really does ignore them, and he doesn't even think that he's ignoring them. It doesn't even, because he's such a great guy, okay? It's like, you know, shooting somebody to the moon. I ain't going. Go ahead. You won't get me in that thing. Right? I know some of you want to. Does that help? We'll work on it. Jason said it much better than me. Where are we? Why is of no consequence? Because, and here comes our sentence, right? Formalism. Does what? We had two things. Derives from preconceived forms. You know, that's pretty tautological. Well, in this case, I mean, it's like, you know, black is black, white is white. Yeah, that's like an equal sign. Formalism is formalism. If you didn't have preconceived forms, you could not have formalism. So derives is a pretty phony word there. He might as well have said is. Formalism is the use of preconceived forms. Right? Yeah, so that's for you other. But he must want that for some reason, because, you know, let's assume the guy's better than me, right? I would say, Stephen, put it in terms of Columbus. But he's going, no, Chuck, you know, you're out there in Indiana, and I'm here. All right. Anyway, second one is derives from, and he doesn't repeat the word, but it's governing two objects here, derives from indifference to others. Okay? And since this was such a problem for you, I can just go down to number two. See, I am the important one. The others don't even make it into my passive verbal construction. I don't know if right? Yet, I'm a good boy because I use preconceived forms to establish justice. Right? Got one more sentence. And what he's actually doing is using this because he's probably setting up another pattern. The words, okay, so this is more common. So here, I mean, I'm sure Jason said, these are really the same thing, aren't they? A closed system of words is formalism. But then maybe it was just too much of a thought to get down, so he felt he really needed to use the tautology just to to make it clear. They're a closed system, and what does this closed system do? Yeah. Silences those who might object. They assented. They didn't say anything. And envisages the possibility of, it envisages something, okay? A possibility, right? I'm not using force. They could have said something if they wanted to. What? These should be lined up. One. The words are a closed system that silences and that envisages. Words envisage. All right. It's just, look, let's put it that way. Faulty predication, you know, I mean, it's a judgment call. I'm just saying, if you're going to start using it, or something that looks like it, you better have it really logically organized, okay?
Well, it's not just that. What was the other one? Oh, directly derived. Right? It's not just that.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact is that, like, it's just misusing the verb.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And you could say he's getting away with it, right? He's deliberately kind of doing it. I just give him the benefit of the doubt. He's been so simple with Columbus. He just wants a little flourish here, right? Because, you know, he just wants to foreground that word, and he believes you'll go along with him. Right? But it's dangerous. And if you start writing every sentence like this, you're in trouble. But you know, once every once in a while, you get to do this. But boy, if you're doing this all the time, formalism is what it's all about. Justice is where I'm going today. Togetherness is the virtue. I'm lost, right? We want justice. We want togetherness. Give me something that I can follow. Right, not just a bunch of abstract ideas. But, I mean, he's been beating this one over the head so hard for a page and a half, I think he maybe pumped enough life into it that he gets it. That's the best I can do. But I think this is the key here, okay? And that this forms a pattern. He doesn't just isolate it out there. Okay, he repeats it to give it a pattern. And he's even got this little pattern out here. The answer, why? Really, the same thing. What's the big question? And this is pretty interesting because he does something you really shouldn't do when you're writing, and that's say, I mean, he keeps asking questions in this chapter. And for most of us, that's just a bad way to structure things. Why should I read War and Peace? Well, let me show you. No, just drop the why should I read War and Peace, you know, and start right up. War and Peace is a novel about blah, 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 you know. Something like War and Peace shows us life as it's lived. just say it. Don't ask me why should we do this.
But then again, for his argument, since it's so complex, doesn't that kind of help?
Yeah, he needs the narrative voice. He needs the question. He's setting himself up as a, you know, Stephen Greenblatt, the thinker, the wanderer, the guy. Hey, I didn't invent this. This is a big problem out there we all have. I'm doing a service. You know, by going out and investigating, which is a nice and a thoughtful one, and the guy without the answers. He set himself up as not the answer guy. I can't explain how everything really went so bad, but I don't think you can blame Columbus, given who he was. This is just this is the culture. This is a cultural clash, okay? And this is the culture the guy brought. And there was no way he was getting out of that trap of that. It wasn't like his weirdness, right? Yeah?
I have a question.
Yeah.
So, you said the fact, right? The fact that...
Yeah, yeah.
...something that's supposed to use. But I've always kind of had a problem with that, because I know, like, basically the rule is more concise is better, you know, don't use extra words. But it doesn't mean the same thing. I mean, it carries different weight.
Yeah, okay. The answer is examine all uses of the fact that, and if you can get rid of it, do so. If you're stuck with it, you're stuck with it. But if you're using five on every page, I don't think you need them all. So you examine your uses, you ask yourself, do I need these words? And you might say yes.
Okay. Well, just like you were saying,
any word expression is the same thing.
You won't find him say the fact that anywhere else.
Right. I doubt you'd find him using that again. Passive verbs. We don't want passive verbs. We want strong active verbs. If you use one, you examine it. Do I really need the passive verb here? Well, I'm afraid I do here because it's a quote. All right? It's the kind of thing that sometimes goes at the beginning of a paragraph because it makes the transition easier. Or if the subject is just so obvious and you just have, if you run Columbus 11 straight sentences, you might want to break it up the pattern, you know, or something like that. But you examine it and you ask yourself. Yeah. But I think what I want you to take away from this is you would do very well without any of this, just by following the simple pattern. 90% of your writing, just check the subject. Whenever you shift from one sentence subject to another, you better have something that signals what you're doing. Now, I haven't shown you that kind of use of coherence devices since I didn't prep it, but we could maybe we'll do that next week if I find something to do. All right. Okay, that's it. 100 Years of Solitude, great book. I will be clapping that book tonight. And there'll be an essay for you to pick up outside my office. Yeah, well, whenever Sheila gets it ready. I won't be in till the afternoon, so. You could ask her for it, for Professor Ross's stuff. If you. Oh, you'll be in class. Outside 304. You can get over here. Do you want me to put it in the mail to you or something? Yeah, I mean, I can put it. Oh, yeah, that's where your mail would go, isn't it?
I have two mailboxes.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.